Perhaps you could turn in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 4. We don't forget we have the little pink paper there if you're interested on the back table there. But to help you with the word believe, and it's an exercise to go through it and to practice what we did this morning in that. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you that we can thank you, that we need to thank you. God, thank you. So, Spirit of God, honor your word, honor our Lord. And Father, be pleased in all of this. Your day, your time, for our benefits. Benefit in the light of all that lies ahead. And our God, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. We were reminded and tried to refresh ourselves this morning about God's wonderful person, and God happens to be God regardless anyway. So it doesn't make any difference about anyone, anywhere, anyhow. God is God. When nothing is here on anywhere, God is. And when everything is here, how did everything get here? God. God did it. And in the process, we shared this morning in Romans and all of that, that God lets himself be known to every little boy or girl that is born on planet Earth. And we went through that so that you would understand. There's no question. It isn't a question of humans trying to help anybody. God happened to have died for everyone that he brings forth on planet Earth. And God is going to go to make sure they understand that. So there's no question, not at all. The world's all over the place with the religions and everything, but not with God. And all of the wonderful things of God are there for us, as we shared in Romans and that, for us to know him, the flowers, the electricity, everything. Bugs, birds, bees, kangaroos, whatever. They're unique. There's nothing. I don't know of anything in my little journey and yours. I don't know of anything that isn't unique. Any study, geology, biology, whatever you want to go. It's awesome. The intricacy of everything, overwhelming. And the only explanation is God. But instead of paying attention to all of those things, we don't. And we've been distracted as we're coming to the end of the age of grace here. As we're coming to the end, electronic world takes over. We shared it exponentially. Knowledge is so compounded, tripled, zippled, everything. In one day, and we couldn't possibly keep up with it. And we're caught up in the electronic world. We aren't caught up in understanding the world around us and appreciating it better. We aren't doing that. We're caught up in the thing. You wake up probably at night, probably the phone, you know, whatever you do, people do. And they're caught up in it. So that, where's God? And how is it going to work for people to know God? Well, the media doesn't want you to know God. Electronic world is used against you to know God. So it's all there, and it's happening very rapidly without any question. So therefore, having said that part, in the light of a little thinking this morning, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, another part, God, people that know, and back then they knew God. God made himself known very clearly to the Egyptians in the 10 plagues. So there's no way to be an Egyptian in the light of all their sphinxes and idolatry and all of the animals and everything they had to worship. All of that there, built and pyramids and everything, is no match for God. And that was proven to them, so much so that they told Israel, get out of here or else. So Israel leaves, and Israel is introduced to God at Mount Sinai. Now, in the process of all of that, God, it's a direct relationship to God, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and they're wonderful, wonderful, just one verse to pick it up in verse 7. What nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And again, verse 8, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? And Israel was a marked people, having a magnificent opportunity to know and honor God in a very personal way, not get caught up in the religion, systems, and philosophies, to get caught up in the reality of God's wonderful person. And they had that opportunity with no confusion, no idolatry, at least at Mount Sinai. So now, how was that going to go? And God, before Moses dies, and they're crossing the Jordan, Deuteronomy, Moses finishes, God uses Moses to finish what they need to know. And chapter 4, verse 26, and I call heaven and earth to witness against you now. They haven't crossed the Jordan yet, but he's telling them, he's warning them, it isn't going to come out. You'll think it is, it will look like it is, but it ain't. It ain't coming out. It isn't coming out. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but you shall be utterly utterly be destroyed. So they're going to go and have a little time, but boy, it isn't going to last, and they're warned. Verse 27. The Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number, Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity, and shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve the gods, little g, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. They're all your own making gods. Verse 29, but if from hence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and the word seek there has to do with intensity, it's intensive, if you will really, really, really seek God. With carefulness. Verse 29. But if thou from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. That's what you got. I guarantee you. You seek me again, God. We're going to lose him. But God isn't disappearing. He's there to find, to know. Verse 29. Thou shalt find him. If thou seek, a little different word, same type of thing though, to search out, etc. Thou shalt seek him with all your heart and with all your soul, if you seek him. So God, there you are. And God warns them that after Egypt, and they want to go back to Egypt, remember, as we did all those things. They want to go back to Egypt. Because Egypt was easier. Living in the world's easier because we're used to it. Therefore, verse 30. And when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, in the future, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, verse 31, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Now, God, what are you telling him? We're going to go and have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, And if we seek God with all our heart, when we're scattered all over the world, if you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. That's what I'm telling you. So I'm not far away. You just lost me. You left me. You left God being God. Therefore, having said that little bit, over if you would to Psalm 119. And of all kinds of places, we're just moving quickly. Psalm 119, to see it from a believing standpoint. And Psalm 119, you have the Hebrew alphabet, etc. 8 verses on each letter. When you come to Psalm 119, go, if I can, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him. How do you need to seek him? With the whole heart, with the whole heart. Not believing, the believer knows how you do it. Because God, that's what they do. Believing believers seek the Lord with their whole heart. Sliding down, verse 9. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O Lord. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So God, what does the believing believer do? The believer understands they need to seek God with their whole heart. Not a half a heart, not a quarter of a heart, not a little bit here and there, but the whole heart. They need to do that. Now, taking that big jump over to Acts, in Acts chapter 17 again, and in Acts 17, God, Paul, helps the Athenians who are into idolatry all over the place. All kinds of idolatry, Athenians were. Trying everything there was to find God. And in the light of that context, sliding down to verse 27. 17:27, as you'd know, that they, the people, I'll read verse 26 to get it, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So every nation rises up, every nation is located in a given place at a given time, every God's in charge. Verse 27, and that they should seek, there's your little verb, seek the Lord. If indeed, they might feel after him, grope, like a blind man, blind, and the only way you do is you have to grope with your hands or whatever. You're trying to feel your way along to get there, even if you can't see, even if you can't see where to go and how to go. If you feel your way along, if you at least seek me that way, you can't do anything, get anywhere, get out of jail, whatever you are, but seek me. Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, grope after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. There he is, always to be found, wonderfully, wonderfully to be found. Now, God, are you really intent on this? I am. Let me show you a little way to do it. Over to John in chapter 6. And you will know, John 6 and 35, the Lord telling us that who he is. Verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Positively will never thirst. Sliding over, if I can, to verse 55. Four, remember we shared all this? God's going to go to the cross and make it possible. Our death is In his death is us. We find ourselves in his death, in his life, in his resurrection. Verse 55, for my flesh is meat, food, indeed, I'm the bread of life, and my blood is drink, indeed, life. Indeed. A little word indeed has to do with what? Truly, actually. Now, God, what do you say every now and then? I want you to know it's actually true. It's really, really, really true. I want you to know that. I say it, I'm telling you, underline, indeed, true. This is true. Hang on to it. Over, if I can, chapter 8. Chapter 8, if I can, in verse 30. And as he spake these words, many believed. Remember what we're looking at, believing. Well, the word believe, need to believe. And many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed, there's your little verb again, on him, if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Indeed, you truly are mine. That's wonderful. You're saved. I think of John 2 in that. They believed, but they didn't believe. They didn't believe like they should. Here, they're indeed, 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 indeed. You are my disciples indeed. And if I can, pricking up, please, in my disciples indeed. And then said Jesus to those Jews who believed in him, indeed. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth shall set you free. Sliding down quickly to verse 36 in the context. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, for real. It's for real. You're my disciples for real. The truth is the truth for real. And I want you to enjoy the truth. Now, how are we going to go and enjoy the truth? Well, God is God, and we shared that. And he has to be understood. He needs to be believed as God. And we know about all the scriptures, 2 Timothy 3 and 16 and that. All scripture is God-breathed, inspired. So here's all the words in the original language when God gave them. We have the Bible, and we don't have the original languages and that, but we have enough, sufficiently, without any question, to believe. And in the process, the Lord is telling up all the words he speaks. He is the Word become flesh, and he speaks. So when he speaks as God, and he speaks because of who he is. He says what he says, what he wants to say, and he understands what he understands that he wants to write down. So, when you read the Bible, you're going to read the Bible and read it, which is right, and you read the Bible. Now, God gave all those words in the original language. God gave them. And what are we supposed to do with them? Well, we're supposed to believe them, because they're words of God in the original language. God gave those words. And what are we supposed to do? Believe them. Believe them. Remember, we shared this morning, belief is one thing, understanding is a whole nother one. Don't mix them up. Belief is one thing, understanding is another. You have to believe God, that he is, period. You have to believe he's quite capable of speaking, whether at Mount Sinai or anywhere. He's quite able to communicate clearly. And he gave the word by Isaiah, Jeremiah, Paul, and all of them, the prophets. He gave the word. So God's very easy, very settled in what he said. And so God understands what he said. What are we supposed to do? Believe what he said. Not understand it. That doesn't mean you don't understand, but it isn't understanding, isn't the issue. God said what he said, and we're to believe it. That's what we have to do. We aren't sitting down trying to understand it. You have to be believing to understand in the first place. You have to have sight before you can see. And therefore, God, here you are, you understand. So when you believe the Bible, you believe it from Genesis to Revelation, and you believe God, that's God's word. He said it is. It's God's word. So God's word is God's word. And he said, but I don't, you don't need to understand it. You need to know it, believe it. When you believe it, you understand Ezekiel and Jeremiah and all of that. You understand, you're going to believe God said these things. So when you read the Bible, it's all about him. We did all of these things this morning. It's all about him. The scriptures tell of him. So therefore, what are we doing? I don't need to understand. I need to know he said it. And that's enough, because I'm resting. What are we doing when we believe? We're resting. Hang on. We're resting on him. That's what we're doing. We're not understanding. We're resting. That's what he wants. To believe him. That's all. Believe him. And you got to believe him. And understanding comes. That's why we study and read and try to do what we do, even like now. So that we can understand. There's no question. But you need to believe. So when you open the Bible, it's God's word and you believe. If you're a believer, are you believing it? That's the point. Now, we did all that. Now, having said that, try to illustrate that for you, if I can. I'll use the airplane. I'll use that again, since the plane is still in business. Okay, here's the airplane. And you're going to go somewhere in the aeroplane. And you're going to go. And you know it's a plane, aerodynamics, it flies up in the air. Do you know all the little gadgets and all the little buttons and everything? I don't know all them. No, don't know them. The pilot knows them, hopefully. The pilot knows them. And the stress and the material, the wings, the metal, and the wings and all of that. You don't know that. How long is this plane going to last before it, in the fatigue, etc.? We don't know that. We just get on the plane and we're comfortable. It's a plane, it flies, and we get in it and we get where we're going and we enjoy the trip because we believe the plane. We don't understand the plane. We don't understand all of these things about the plane, but the pilot uses those things he understands and flies it. And that's how we get there. He believed the plane is the plane. Now, if we get on the plane, second illustration, we're going to get on the plane because we need to go where we need to go, and the plane's the only way to get there. And so we get on the plane, but we're filled in our little head and heart about all kinds of fears and things about the plane. About the plane, the wings will fall off, as we shared this morning, and all kinds of stuff. And so, but we're going to go. We're going to sit in the plane and travel down and fly where we're going. But the whole trip, we're busy, making sure the belt's tight, etc. And the cup will fall down, you know, and you're there. And hope that we're going. You didn't enjoy the trip because you weren't sure. You weren't sure. They brought you old-fashioned. They bought you a steak dinner just sitting in the regular seats. You remember that? Yeah, well. Anyway. Now, so here we are. Wow. And we didn't enjoy the trip. Believers need to be believing like God and his word. That's the starting point. You isn't asking understanding. He's asking you to believe God is God. We're in his presence. And we're to enjoy the trip that he's God. We aren't helping him be God. We aren't questioning a God we aren't playing with. But if we use the second illustration, God is God, but I don't believe this part of the Bible. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about this chapter or this book or the Revelation or the Old Testament, whatever. And we have all of these things. But we're believers. But we aren't enjoying believing. No, you're not. You can't do it. You can't think like that. I pick this and pick that. You can't claim promise on page 30 in John 5 and deny the promise in Romans 10. You can't do that. You I know you try, but you can't successfully do that. No, sir. You can't. If you were tested, you can't enjoy it because you aren't sure. You aren't sure. And we're trying to fly. We're trying to be believers in a very terrible, difficult time in history, a very wonderful time in history, because a crisis has brought about everything to the next stage, to where we're going prophetically. That's awesome. But you can't move because the fear's all over the place. And then we're looking to God. I don't know, God, you can do this. I don't know, God, you can do that. And we got the virus and all these different things. And we're going down the corridor of time. So we don't enjoy being believed. Oh, we come to church and we give. Good. But we don't enjoy. We aren't profiting like we should be. And the third illustration, of course, is I don't believe the plane. I don't believe the plane can fly. And therefore, I'm going to try to go by boat across the ocean because I don't believe in the plane. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe God. And so I don't use the Bible. That's true. That's the third one. Now, having said that little bit, having said that and keeping that in mind, then if you would do it a different way so you see it, and as helpful, I hope. When you're going to go and you need to believe, now, help you. It may seem silly to you, but I hope it isn't. You all got here by automobiles, cars. And you got here by cars. And you get in the car and believe the car was the car. True? Now, apart from some person saying, well, it needs a tune-up and all of this stuff, you get in the car and you enjoy the car. And the car, you let the car, what are you doing? You're letting the car be the car, aren't you? You're trusting the car to be the car. And that's, you get in it and you go. You go and do that in a most wonderful way. You had food today and you ate the food. And you could have enjoyed the food in the sense of just ate it, taken it down. And the food's there, you're carrying it around in a good way. It's become part of your system, as we shared on Wednesday. It's part of your system. So here's the food, wonderful food. What did you do with the food? You let the food be the food. If you had a hot dog, didn't you let the hot dog be a hot dog? You didn't think of it as chicken. You looked at it as a hot dog, and you ate the hot dog. You didn't play with it. You just ate it. You believed it. The hot dog's the hot dog. The car's the car. The car's the car. Etc. And you can do this in all kinds of different ways. And you let it be 100% food. And you didn't argue about it. You didn't say it, whatever. And even if you did, you ate it. And so it's digested, like it or not. Or you could have never eaten it, never eaten it. Years ago, illustration, we used to try to feed the children when they were growing up. And in the process, we did that. No offense to anybody, in the process. And in growing up, and we tried to, Jeanette tried to do with what we did and whatever we had, and we did it. And sometime we'd have spinach or something like that. And spinach, and what do you say to the children? Eat the vegetables. Eat your plate, right? No dessert unless you eat the plate. Okay. And so, you pester them, hopefully, after an hour or two. You're working at it. And so there they are. Now, in the process, we'd do something and turn around, and the food's gone. Where's the spinach? It's gone. And we did that for a while. We did that for a while. But you know, one day we were cleaning, and underneath the radiator was a pile of spinach. Now, the radiators are like Popeye, very strong, but they aren't. They aren't. God, what have we got to do? Well, if we don't eat it, we don't have the benefits. So, and the recipe, you got to follow the recipes, etc. You got to do. You got to let God be God. The car, food, the food, glasses, your glasses. You let God be God. What's so hard about it? Well, we don't do it. We do it in every other thing. We're believing and trusting. That's what we do. But when it comes to God and the Bible, whoops, we don't believe it like that. And that's what we do in life. So we got to believe. That's what God requires, belief. As we shared, God tells us you have to believe. So in the process of all of this, doing God, doing what he does, the way he does it, in a most wonderful way. So God, here we are looking in the process, and God wants us to go, and then we shared together the Pharisees this morning a little bit. The Pharisees were very, very vigorous about believing, and taking in the light of Judaism, in the Talmud, not in the light of the Bible. And they did what they did. It did everything very special without making a mistake, hopefully, because they were trying to get righteousness. And God said, and they were believing. But that kind of belief doesn't do anything. It didn't save them. It didn't help them. Not at all. People believe all kinds of ways. But they got to believe what? Believe what the object. What am I looking at? I'm looking at a cantaloupe, then I believe it's a cantaloupe. I'm looking at the flowers, it's the flowers. I'm looking for God, he's the God. He's God. I don't have a big, and whatever you understand about God, I don't know. What do you understand about? That's why we do. What do you think God is like? Being holy, righteous, and merciful, and all of these things. That's awesome to understand his person. But at least God, G-O-D, that's the starting point. That's the starting point. God is God. And that's how we approach him, to know him. Now, having said that little bit in the light of that, over if you can, please. Picking up, please, in, for time's sake. Over if you would. John 3. You're right in John anyway, maybe. And the Gospel of John in chapter 3, we're looking at the word just doing very, remember that we looked at the English definition of believe, so we saw that. But when you want definitions, the Webster King James is wonderful, the old one especially, but you've got to stay with the new, with the language in which it was written. If I want to know what believe means, I need to know what it is in the Bible. Not what it means out here. What does it mean to God? Why did he use that word? And what does that word mean? To be persuaded. To be persuaded with, in a very effectual way. To be persuaded. And then, thus, in John chapter 3, just a place to remind us, John 3:16, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed on the name of the Son, only Son of God. Believe. And the word believe means to be confident, to be committed, to be very, very comfortable. Competent, comfortable, committed, reliance, resting. In other words, believing is an active verb. And here I'll take you the hymn book. You can see that. The hymn book. The hymn book's going to believe. Hymn book's going to believe. On the wood. It's resting. Fully confident. Comfortable. Believe is means a commitment to someone or something. You believe someone or something. And if you believe, whatever you're believing in, I believe that I'm a something, Superman or something, and we shared that this morning of the illustration. You believe whatever you want. You can believe you're a boy, can believe he's a girl, but he isn't. A girl can believe they're a boy, but they're not. They're not. They're not. They're not. They're not. It's a make-believe. That kind of believing is absurd and terribly, terribly disastrous, ultimately. So, believing means to rest down whatever you're believing in. So where is your belief? If it's in yourself, that's what you're doing. If you're believing the system, you're believing the government, where are you believing? Are you believing the other different things out there to believe? What are you believing? We're believing God. We're believing God's word. Where are we found? Look, resting down on God. God is God. We're going to rest in him. God's word is his word. That's what I'm resting in. The understanding, remember, belief doesn't make anything true, obviously. Belief is where you put it, and that's going to make the difference. So I'm putting my belief down upon God's God, his person, and his word. That's what I'm doing. That's where it is. It's an active, right there. Wow. As long as I'm believing like this, I'm having all the benefits of this wood supporting it. As long as I'm believing God's word, I have all these words that I speak unto you as spirit and life, full of life, pregnant, as we shared. They're pregnant of life. As you rest down God's word, you're believing it. You're going to let it be real. If you're going to do this, it isn't real. You've got to down. And you're going to, the promises of God, the truths of God, the awesomeness of God, you're letting it happen. All you're doing is believing, but believing is essential. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You got to believe now. So we're resting down on God's wonderful person. That's what we need to do. So having done that, on who he is and what he has done in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Over, if you would please, to Romans. Romans in chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, we won't get very far, but a little bit to at least help you, I hope. If nothing else, the plane, food, those are simple illustrations. Because we're busy believing all the time, but we don't believe in God like that. And we lose out. We don't have anything. We got a lot of church and a lot of religion, but not life. Romans chapter 4, if I can, directly, please, in the light of that. Romans chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed, there's your little word, God, confident, persuasion, commitment to what he said. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth, what's the key every time? Believe. You got to believe. Believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Over to chapter 10. You got to believe. Chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe, we got to do. We got to believe. We got to believe where? In your heart. How much of your heart? Your whole heart. Believe in thine heart that what? God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Now, how you get saved? You believe God. And Jesus said, I'm the bread and I'm the drink and I'm your life. Indeed. Indeed, it is true. You'd never know that most of the time with people. God's excited about it. It's true. It's a wonderful thing God did. Now, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth, there we are, unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how we get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So God, believe. Everything you say is believe. That's right. Because you can't make it. You don't make anything. I don't make anything happen. How do you make anything happen? With the flesh profits nothing. What are you going to do? You can't make anything happen about God. God makes it happen. God does. God is the one that makes it happen. So therefore, you're going to trust God who makes it happen. He makes the flowers, makes the bugs, makes the birds, he makes you. He saves you. Who does? God does. What do you need to do? Believe. Rest in him. Back down, resting down. That's what believe means. You can't move because you what? You believe. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So if someone else wanted to say, the Pharisees wanted to say, no, Abraham, you got to do what we're doing. And Abraham said, I believe God. I can't move. Why can't you move? Because I believe. I'm locked on. But if I'm not locked on, you can move me all over the place if I'm not locked on. But if I'm locked on, you can't move. I can't convince you because you're stuck in a wonderful way upon God and his word. Now, having said that, over to chapter 15. And in chapter 15, picking up, please. Again, all this, I'm just trying to, as you read your Bible, I'm trying to help you pay attention to what he says all the time. Chapter 15, verse 13. Now, the God of hope fill you with all, A-L-L, joy and peace. How so? How so? In believing. How am I going to have joy? Peace, power, believe. Why do I have to believe? Because God isn't handing something out. God is the joy. God is the peace. God is the power. You got to believe in God. You want it? You got to do it. Verse 13 again. And believe that that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost, God's wonderful, wonderful working and outworking in his most, most wonderful way. And God does what he does in an awesome way. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, looking now in the light of all of this, in John, over to, no, go over first to James. James, see a different way, James. And it will help us in two different ways. The book of James. James is an early writer, a disciple, communicating God's word. And in James, if I can, picking up, please, in chapter 1, going, if I can, to verse 13. For he shall have judgment, without mercy, that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. I'm in chapter 3, no, chapter 2, hang on. Chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith, remember the word faith, all coming out of the verb to persuade, coming up, all these words stuck to the same root, the same tree, awesome, believe, faith, all of the trustworthy, faithfulness. Verse 14 and verse 15. faith can faith save him. Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, etc., sliding down for time's sake. Verse 17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So back to the trusting. Here you have faith. If I have faith, I have faith out here, watch, I'm not going to do it. I have faith out here that this, I have faith, I believe, that this hymn book will stay right where it is if I let go. I believe it. I believe it. But you know what? It won't, will it? Faith without works. Where do you put your faith? I put it in myself or my system or Egypt's gods. It can't hold you. No, it can't. Your faith, show me your works. Well, I'll show you what I believe. I believe that I'm a duck. That's what you can do. You can do that, whatever you want to do. But it isn't true. It isn't true at all. But you can believe it. I like that. Then how are you going to say, God, what are you saying, God? Show me your works, and I'll show you where your belief is. Show me what you're believing. Where are you believing? I'm believing in God and His Word. Show me that. Show me that. Without, let me keep reading. Verse 17. What shall profit a man if it hath not works? Faith is dead, being alone, being alone. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, have faith, have faith. There's your little word coming out of being persuaded. And I have works. Show me thy faith. There it is again. Faith, believe. Without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I'm going to show you where I'm resting. I'm resting on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Indeed, indeed, it is truly life. He truly is my Savior. I'm truly, truly saved. Why? Because I'm resting where that's where I need to be to get saved. And God said, if I'm going to rest on Him, I shall be saved to the uttermost. So here I am resting down to be saved. Now, help me now. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is no one God. Oh, that's all right. We're that kind of people. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devil, devils, plural, demons. The demon, one devil, demons. The demons. The demons in verse 19. The demons, they believe, but they aren't saved, are they? But they believe. Lots of people say they believe, but they aren't saved. But I believe. The devil believes. How are you believing? Where is your faith? Where are you believing? And you're letting God be God. You're letting God's word be God's word. You're resting down in it. That's what you're doing. That's how you read your Bible. That's how you get out of bed. That's why you do everything. You're present, and people go to work, school, people are present. God's always present. And you're always in His presence. And you live like that. Because He's God, personal way. I'm believing. I'm resting down on Him. Over the verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith, there's your little word, without works is dead also. Wherever you're resting, you're resting. I'm trusting. Trusting what? What are you trusting? What are you believing? Oh, what I... Then you start, they get all going. They should be clear. Simple, clear. I'm believing God and His Word. I'm resting down on God. I'm really resting down on God. And I don't need to understand it all. I need to trust God who understands it all. And by the way, when it's all done, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You got that? That's wonderful, isn't it? So God, we're a sheep, my shepherd. We're the sheep. Now God, I'm looking, David's looking to you, we're looking to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Who's going to make that work? God is. He's the shepherd. How does it work out? Thou shalt not want. God makes that work on His terms. And we did all these because sometimes God wants you to want. Sometimes God wants you to fall down. That's how you learn. Now, God, you make that worse verse work. And all the other truths. I can do all things through Christ, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me on God's terms. And I have to believe. I believe it, and you believe it. Now, how it works out to strengthen me, He may let me fall down and break my neck. But that's in God's will, but I believe. And He'll do what He does always to exercise the life that is disease doesn't get it. No one can touch it. It's God's life. It's God Himself. He is your eternal life. And God is doing what He's doing to help you understand what? Your relationship to Him. So that you're what? Believing. That's what you're doing. And you're believing. And you're made to be. God exercises us so we really believe. You see. Not, oh, I believe, you know. To really believe. Wow. So God, we got to believe. Over if I can, please. In 1 John. You aren't far, far away. Over to 1 John. And you will notice of all the different ways. Watch how it works. John chapter 5:13. These things have I written, that's why we're reading them. The words of God. God said them on words. These things have I written unto you that what? If you're a believer, I'm writing to you. To what? To believe. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, trusting God as our Savior and Lord, that, purpose, you may know that you have eternal life, and what else? That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Because the whole thing is what? Don't lose your belief. Your belief is stay believing. Stay believing, and that's how you're going to learn how to believe. You're not going to learn it out here. You're going to learn it by believing. And you believe the simplest little thing that you understand, and you believe it with all your heart, and you get to the next thing, and your faith, like in Thessalonians, your faith groweth. You're growing in your belief. You're sure. And you got to get there. It isn't going to happen. You got to get there. And you work because you keep believing. You stay here. You don't do this all over the place. You stay here. And you're believing. I believe God, period. Nothing changes. So now, having said that, these things have I written unto you that you may know. Now, so we don't want to be like the devil. That isn't going to go anywhere. And that is not going to work. Over, if you would, please, to catch a little flavor of it in the light of it. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is. The word faith, the word belief, both of them, same from the same box to be persuaded. So in the light of that, and God is faithful. God is faithful that calleth you. He's a wonderful, wonderful, faithful God. And He won't be disappointed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. And you will notice, please, if I can, in verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify, set you apart holy. And I pray God, your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's from top to bottom, stem to stern, the whole thing. That's what you're going to do, God. That's what I'm going to do. And verse 24, faithful, there's your little word, faithfulness. Faithful is He that calleth you. He will also what? Do it. Do you believe that? God, head to toe. We got all the viruses and everything. We've got to get all frustrated. Hold it. It's your body, his body. He bought it with a price. So God, I don't want to make it look like you can't keep your own body. It's my body, my immune system and everything. God, you have to go, and you bought it. So God, if you want me to get the plague by brushing my teeth, I could. Or I could be in the middle of the black plague and walk right through it. Either way, believe me, God will do. And we trust God for this, literally. We trust God. That's how we go. That's what we're doing. We're showing God's wonderful person. He's faithful, absolutely faithful. And what are we doing? We're trusting in God's faithfulness, aren't you? Have faith in God. What are you doing? You're trusting God means what he says in his word, and you're resting on it. Indeed, indeed, truly, he said, truly it is true. Then let it be true in my life, your life. And so God, here we are resting down so that you can be exactly wonderfully who you are. So God, that's awesome. And what are we doing? How do we do it, God? It's so hard. You're trusting in God being God and his faithfulness. And God is faithful to his word, to his person, to his saving grace. And that's what we're doing. And God, you want us to, how are we going to do it? Believe. 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 That's what you do. And you want to do it? That's how you're going to do it. God, you're going to be God, and we're going to trust you to be God, and have work your wonderful plan in our lives, etc., etc. 2 Timothy. Oh, okay. Yep. Second Timothy, if I can. Chapter 1. And here's our root. This is our root to be persuaded. This is one of the places that it is found in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. Paul, will you tell me how you're about to die? You're going to die by Nero. Going to die. And Paul, tell me how it goes for you. Well, verse 12. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why aren't you ashamed? Why aren't you ashamed, Paul? Why aren't you afraid? Why aren't you running? Why aren't you screaming? For I know whom I have what? Believed. I'm trusting in God. So why on earth would I care about anything? They're going to take my life. Sure they are. So what? So what? They can't do that except in God's will. That's all they can do. I know whom I believed and am persuaded. There's your verb. I am persuaded. I'm absolutely convinced. I've been convinced. God drove it home to my head and my heart in my trials and troubles. Persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed against that day. Deposited, the word deposit. I deposited what? I deposited my soul, my daily 24-hour day existence. I gave him my soul. And he's the substitute to provide for me everything that I don't have. My God is sufficient for all my needs. So God is going to be. And God, I got all my situation. Nero's going to do whatever. All of these things are going to happen. Timothy, what's going to happen to Timothy? All of these things are there. But what are you doing? I'm persuaded. I'm depositing myself, my situation, my conditions, everything about my little life. I'm committing it to God in a most wonderful way. And society is doing what it's doing. But I commit to God my soul, my substance, and my society. And let the world try to do, and let Nero try to do what he wants. So what? I'm giving my soul. I'm trusting it. I'm persuaded. I'm resting down. I don't have a problem. God doesn't have a problem. And I don't have a problem because I'm resting on a God who doesn't have a problem. So therefore, having said that, Hebrews chapter 12 in closing. I hope you got a little bit. I'm just think of the hymn book illustration of that. And if nothing else, get that one. Get that, practice it. Hebrews in chapter 12. Wherefore seeing in the light of all the believers in chapter 11, wherefore seeing also we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, our unbelief. And let us run with patience, bearing up under the load, the race that is set before us. How are we going to run, God? Looking unto Jesus, the author, who created us. He did. He has a wonderful plan for our life, Ephesians 2:10. And he's going to outwork the plan why he created us in the first place. And therefore, verse 2, the author and the finisher. He's the completer. He brings to a conclusion the faith, the wonderful truths in God's word to make them real. He's faithful to save you to the uttermost, to make all of it come out. He's faithful. He's wonderfully faithful. God, so what are we looking to God? Looking to God? Have faith in God like we did in Mark 11. Have faith in God going down the road, and that's what we're going to do. And as we do that down the road, God's going to what? He has a wonderful plan, not my plan, his plan, and we're going to trust his plan for my life. Work, home, school, eating, drinking, coming and going, that's what we're going to do. And God has to work all of that out, and as he does work it out, then what? Then God is going to go and work it all out so that, and he's going to finish everything that he starts. He's going to make all those truths work. How? By believing. How's it going to happen? I'm just going to rest. Resting, relying, would believe, resting, relying, confident in, commitment. I'm resting down. And that's how it's going to happen. I don't make it happen. God makes it happen. My belief doesn't do it. God does it. God does it. That's why it happens. And we're trusting God. And it works out wonderful. And you get on the airplane and you're comfortable. Say, all these things are going to happen. But not with God, you can't. Nothing's going to happen with God. Nothing. No one. There's no one. The devil, no one. No one's going to touch God. No, sir, like Job. Satan had to get permission to get after him. God keeps us. And that's what he's going to do. He said, are you mine or you're not? You are. We salute him. We rest down on him. And that's what God does. It's a wonderful thing. No. It's a wonderful thing. We're saved. Be saved. Believe. You got to believe. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Our Father and God, thank you for thy word, thy work, thy grace. Thank you, God. Help us. Such an awesome, awesome, profound wonderment that we can simply believe and let you be exactly who you are. Let you outwork your wonderful word as we believe and rest, and in the process, give us understanding that we would appreciate, understand how you work, why you work, about your wonderful character and person, and God, that we would more and more magnify, glorify, enjoy the superstructure, not of the plane, the superstructure of our being saved. God, thank you very much. Encourage and help the people to believe. God, it's up to us. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.